picture the absolute most chaotic, unfiltered corner of the internet you can possibly imagine. Like a place where the discourse is just aggressively toxic, the humor is incredibly cynical, and the sheer volume of digital noise is just...
It's deafening, really.
Exactly, it's deafening. Mm-hmm. And usually you just scroll right past it, right? You wouldn't give it a second thought. But occasionally, if you actually look closely at the center of that storm, you find something entirely unexpected.
You really do. You find these moments of, well, genuine creativity.
Yeah. You find this group of completely anonymous users who are intensely collaborating on this beautifully complex, highly structured narrative thought experiment.
And it creates this profound sort of narrative whiplash for the reader because, you know, you're bracing yourself for the usual barrage of internet toxicity, but instead you just stumble into what is essentially a masterclass on world building and media theory, and it's all unfolding in real time.
Which is exactly where we're taking you, the listener, for today's deep dive. We're looking at a stack of raw, completely unfiltered source material originating from an anonymous image board thread. This is dated around April 2026.
Right.
And our mission today is to extract this surprisingly creative vein of conversation that's just hidden amidst all that chaotic banter. Because what these users are actively doing is brainstorming their own hypothetical isekai adventures.
And for anyone who might not be completely immersed in anime culture, isekai is, well, it's a massively popular Japanese genre where a normal person is transported or trapped or reincarnated into another world, usually a magical fantasy world.
Right. But since you're joining us for this deep dive into the genre, we aren't just going to rehash that standard definition.
No, definitely not. We are looking at what happens when highly cynical internet users decide to basically weaponize those exact tropes against the genre itself.
But before we get into the actual pitches, we need to just pause for a second and establish a really clear framework for how we're handling this text, because it's important.
Absolutely crucial.
We must explicitly state right up front that this source material contains highly toxic, racially charged, and deeply offensive language.
Yes.
It's, you know, unfortunately typical of the abrasive, completely unfiltered environment of these anonymous image boards.
Right. And to be absolutely clear here, we are not endorsing any of those viewpoints. We aren't endorsing the provocative humor or the political ideologies, whether left-wing or right-wing, presented in this text. We're not taking sides.
Exactly. Not taking sides at all.
Rather, we're just impartially reporting on the content to examine the really fascinating creative thought processes taking place within this turbulent space. We're analyzing the art, essentially, and the specific cultural environment that produced it.
So we're basically putting on our hazmat suits to extract the creative gems from the sludge.
Yeah.
Because what they're building in this thread is genuinely wild. It all kicks off with this user named Blue Buddy, who just throws this core prompt out to the board.
Right, the inciting incident.
Yeah. They ask, if we were the main characters of our own isekais, and not isekai'd together as a group, but dropped in individually, what would our worlds and adventures be like?
And that's a classic thought experiment, right. But the stipulation that they are not together is the crucial part.
How so?
Well, they aren't looking to form, like, a digital fellowship of the ring. They want absolute isolated control over their own individual narrative environments.
Oh, I see.
And what happens next is really what sets this thread apart from just your standard fanfiction brainstorm. Before anyone even pitches a plot, the users aggressively outline what they absolutely do not want.
Yeah, they essentially draft this strict rule book by just vehemently rejecting the mainstream tropes of the genre.
And they are ruthlessly strict about it.
They really are. Like, for example, they start criticizing mainstream isekai anime, specifically one called Konosuba. But they don't just say, oh, I don't like it. They specifically attack the anime adaptation for skipping source volumes from the original light novels.
Which is such a telling critique, if you think about it.
Why do you say that?
Because to them, skipping source volumes violates narrative integrity. Like, to these users, world building isn't just window dressing, it's a hard science.
Right.
So when a commercial adaptation skips a volume just to get to a flashy action scene or, you know, to introduce a popular character faster, it breaks the mechanical laws of the universe that the original author established. They are demanding structural integrity right from the jump.
Oh, yeah. But the biggest rule they establish, and this is just highly, highly specific, is a hard demand for an isekai with natural hair colors only. in all caps.
Which is so funny.
It is.
But this is actually a direct pushback against a much larger, bizarrely analytical conversation that was happening earlier in the same thread. The board was just hyper-analyzing blue, pink, and purple hair on anime characters, and they were literally classifying those colors as dangerous or too anime.
Go anime. I mean, yeah. In an anime-adjacent genre.
Paradoxical, I know.
Yeah.
But they're drawing a hard line against what they see as the over-commercialized aesthetic of the genre. Neon hair has just become this shorthand for lazy character design.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Like if a character has glowing purple hair, you instantly know they're the mysterious magical prodigy.
Exactly. It does the heavy lifting so the writer doesn't have to actually develop the character.
And the rejection of modern tropes doesn't even stop at hair color. Another user, Meets, jumps in after the board starts discussing a manga called Backstreet Girls.
Oh, right. Backstreet Girls.
Yeah. And for those of you who haven't read it, Backstreet Girls is this deeply cynical, really gritty, bizarre comedy. It's about these hardened Yakuza members who are forced by their boss to undergo surgery and become a female pop idol group just to pay off a massive debt.
Which is just the pinnacle of messy, hyper-ironic modern subversion.
Right.
It takes two completely unrelated extremes, you know, the criminal underworld and the manufactured pop idol industry, and just smashes them together for dark comedy.
And referencing that specific manga is what prompts Meets to just plead for an isekai world with what do they call nice, clean magic.
Yes, clean magic.
Okay, let's unpack this for a second. Why are anonymous internet users, people who practically thrive on absolute chaos, who live in the digital Wild West, suddenly demanding clean magic and strictly natural hair colors?
It's a great question.
It's like someone who exclusively eats highly processed digital junk food, suddenly pounding their fists on the table and demanding a farm-to-table, locally sourced organic fantasy experience.
That is exactly it. That's the perfect analogy for what is happening here. To understand it, we really have to look at how these users view the current media landscape.
Okay.
In their eyes, the standard anime tropes, the neon hair, the chaotic rules-light magic systems, the really predictable mass-produced subversions like Yakuza pop idols, all of that has become the new corporate mainstream.
It's mainstream now.
Yeah, it's just visually noisy, heavily marketed media designed for mass consumption.
So by establishing a rule book of natural hair and clean rule-based magic, that's actually an act of rebellion.
Precisely. It's a counterculture movement happening within a counterculture space.
Wow.
When they say clean magic, they mean going back to like Tolkien-esque foundational rules, where fire burns, water heals, and actions have logical, predictable consequences without any meta-ironic twists constantly undercutting the narrative.
They want escapism, but they want to reclaim the genre from the corporations.
Right. They are demanding to experience fantasy entirely on their own rigidly defined terms.
So once they've established this really rigid, clean, aesthetic foundation banning neon hair and messy magic, they're essentially forced to completely reinvent the narrative.
They are, yeah.
Because if you can't rely on flashy visual tropes to make your character special, how do you even build a compelling world? You have to invert the power dynamic entirely.
Which is incredibly difficult to do in a genre that's fundamentally built on wish fulfillment.
Right. I mean, traditionally, you leave your boring life behind, you acquire unique skill or immense magical power, everyone is instantly drawn to you, and you save the world.
It's a straight line from zero to hero.
Exactly. But the pitches these participants come up with go in the exact opposite direction. Let's look at the mechanics of these worlds they're building. First up, we have what the board calls the pain isekai.
Oh, this one is fascinating.
It is. So the concept here is that a conventionally attractive, highly successful guy, a Chad, in their internet vernacular, is reincarnated into a new world as a physically ugly outcast. But it's not just a cosmetic change. He is universally, systematically despised by everyone in that new world.
Right. They're completely stripping away all of his social privilege.
Yeah.
In our world, the Chad relies on a very specific set of social mechanics. People give him the benefit of the doubt. His charisma opens doors. His physical appearance essentially acts as a shield.
Right. He plays life on easy mode.
Exactly. And the Pain isekai takes that character and drops him into an environment where his primary stat is just reduced to zero. Every single interaction is hostile.
It basically turns a fantasy adventure into a psychological survival horror.
It really does.
And that focus on psychological friction leads directly into their next pitch, which is the gentle villain. And this one is just so mechanistically specific.
Yes.
The idea is that an unassuming, completely mild-mannered library clerk gets reincarnated as the main antagonist in an NTR RPG.
We should probably break down those mechanics for the listener, because that contrast is the entire point of the pitch.
Go ahead.
So an NTRPG is a subgenre of game that focuses heavily on betrayal, psychological manipulation, and highly toxic romance.
Right.
The acronym itself refers to a specific type of infidelity trope in Japanese media. So the entire world is mechanically designed to be an engine of emotional cruelty.
But the twist they brainstormed is that the library clerk completely retains his mild-mannered, gentle disposition. He's dropped into the role of the evil final boss,
yeah,
surrounded by all these mechanics that reward cruelty, but he just wants to, like, organize books and be polite.
The gameplay loop of that world would be entirely broken.
Totally broken.
You have a character of pure innocence dropped into an environment that absolutely demands malice. Like, how does a gentle librarian navigate a quest log that requires him to betray an ally?
He wouldn't.
No. He would likely just try to offer them a cup of tea, which completely derails the game's internal logic.
Right. And then we have the third major pitch from the thread, which dives right back into the controversy we warned about in our disclaimer at the top of the deep dive.
Yeah, we need to address this carefully.
The users start discussing the concept of illy, which translates to brown skin reincarnation.
Right.
And the board basically discusses the social dynamics of this specific reincarnation. And one user cynically labels this scenario as a fate worse than death.
And again, we are just impartially reporting this detail to demonstrate exactly how the board constructs these hypothetical worlds.
Yes, exactly.
They are importing their own real-world prejudices, their racial fixations, and their deeply cynical humor into the thought experiment. They are literally utilizing that toxicity as a building block for narrative conflict.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting for me. Wait, I'm honestly struggling with this.
What's that?
If you have a blank check to design your own universe, a place where you could literally write yourself in as an all-powerful god, why on earth would you intentionally write yourself into a world where you're a despised outcast?
Right.
Or where you're trapped as a gentle soul in a nightmare engine of betrayal. Why actively choose the pain isekai?
Well, what's fascinating here is how accurately this reflects the pervasive cynicism of their specific internet culture.
Meaning what, exactly?
Well, these users aren't interested in traditional heroics anymore. To them, the hero's journey just feels fake. It feels unearned and corporate. So instead of heroic triumph, they are entertained by narrative dissonance.
Ah, meaning the friction between the character's internal state and the world's external demands.
Exactly. They are treating the isekai genre not as a heroic journey, but as a petri dish. Taking a Chad and stripping him of his social armor to see how he survives as an outcast, that isn't a power fantasy. It's an ironic social experiment.
Oh, I love that. Yep. It's like taking a standard chessboard, but instead of playing to win, you're intentionally playing to see how long your king can survive while being actively hunted by his own pawns.
That's a great way to put it.
They're stress testing the narrative to see where it breaks. They don't want the satisfaction of slaying the dragon.
Yeah.
They want the dark comedy of watching a middle manager try to negotiate the dragon's dental plan.
Exactly. And that stress testing is the very core of their creativity. They want to introduce the absolute wrong variable into an established environment just to watch the systems fail.
Which brings us to the third evolution of this brainstorm. Because once they've stress-tested the character archetypes, they realize they can stress-test the genre itself.
Yes, the cultural mashup.
Right. They start pushing the very boundaries of what actually constitutes an isekai by crossing cultural and historical wires in ways that are totally surreal.
This is where the standard fantasy setting shatters entirely. I mean, if you've already banned neon hair and standard magic, why stick to medieval Europe as a setting?
Exactly. So let's look at the pitch from user Irie. They pitch an isekai titled, That Time I Got Reincarnated as a Steampunk Chinaman.
Which, again, is utilizing the board's specific, often racially tinted vernacular.
Right.
But if you look at the components of what they are actually building, they're blending Victorian-era sci-fi aesthetics, so, you know, the brass, the steam power, the cogs with Eastern historical tropes.
Yeah.
And then they're filtering that entire visual collision through a modern Japanese narrative structure with RPG stats and levels.
It's the complete geographical and temporal mashup.
It really is.
But the pitch that genuinely broke my brain came from user Meets.
Yeah.
They pitched the most highly specific, culturally disconnected concept of the entire thread.
Oh, the John Henry pitch.
Yes. An isekai continuation, of the American folklore legend, John Henry.
The steel-driving man just dropped into a Japanese reincarnation fantasy?
Yes. Like, let's actually think about the mechanics of the John Henry legend for a second. We're talking about the 1870s here.
Right.
John Henry is the legendary African-American railroad worker who famously raced a steam-powered rock drilling machine. And he did it to prove the supremacy of human strength and dignity over industrialization.
A deeply poignant story.
Truly, he wins the race against the machine, but his heart gives out, and he dies with his hammer in his hand from the sheer exertion. And this random forum user says, okay, let's take John Henry the exact moment his heart stops and isekai him into a fantasy world.
It is an incredibly jarring juxtaposition. You are taking a very grounded, deeply tragic symbol of the American labor movement and just dropping him into an escapist anime trope.
So what does this all mean? Like, I actually have to push back on the definition of the genre itself here. Can an American folk hero from the Industrial Revolution even be an isekai protagonist? Because John Henry dies fighting a steam drill in West Virginia. And now he just wakes up with a glowing blue RPG status screen floating in front of him in a magical forest. Does the genre really stretch that far?
Well, if we connect this to the bigger picture, we have to remember what isekai actually is at its absolute core.
Okay, what is it?
Strip away the anime aesthetics. Strip away the glowing status screens and the strict rules of clean magic. Isekai is fundamentally just a modern gamified branding of the absolute oldest storytelling tradition on Earth.
Which is?
The afterlife myth.
Oh, wow. I had thought about it like that. The afterlife myth.
Yeah, think about the mechanics of it. It's the story of what happens to the soul after the body fails, whether it's Dante's Inferno or the Greek underworld, or waking up in a fantasy kingdom with a sword. It is the human attempt to imagine a second act.
Right.
So, taking a blue-collar, industrial-era American legend like John Henry, a man who literally gave his life fighting the unstoppable march of technology, and giving him a Japanese-style reincarnation narrative, it actually makes perfect thematic sense.
Because he fought the machine, died, and woke up in a world where human strength and analog willpower actually matter again.
Exactly. The status screen might be digital, but he gets to keep swinging the hammer.
That's actually incredibly poignant.
It is surprisingly moving.
Yeah.
And it's the kind of spontaneous, globally mashed up creativity that could probably only happen on an anonymous internet forum.
Plus,
you have all these disparate pieces of media, history, and internet culture just floating around in the same digital soup, colliding into each other.
It really makes you look at that messy, chaotic forum in a completely different light, which is honestly a perfect place to tie all of this together for you, the listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
Today, we put on the hazmat suits.
Yeah.
And we waded into a deeply cynical, often abrasive internet space. But look at what we actually found when we started digging into the mechanics of their conversations.
We found a community fiercely debating the artistic integrity of world building. We found them demanding organic, rules-based magic over mass-produced corporate tropes.
Right. We found them stress testing the power fantasy by, you know, ironically punishing Chads and dropping gentle, mild-mannered librarians into nightmare engines of toxic romance just to study the narrative friction.
And we found them giving an American folk hero, John Henry, a second act in a magical universe, proving that the afterlife myth can just be endlessly rebranded.
This whole deep dive just reveals how anonymous internet communities use established genres as a sandbox. They aren't just passively consuming media.
No, not at all.
They're actively venting their frustrations with corporate entertainment, and they're flexing highly specific, collaborative, creative muscles to build something entirely their own.
And it serves as a really great reminder that beneath the toxic noise, the abrasive layers, and the cynical vernacular of these anonymous digital spaces, there are often raw, unfiltered, and genuinely fascinating thought experiments taking place.
You just have to know how to look for them.
Exactly. You have to have the patience to understand the unique rules of engagement they operate under.
Because if you're willing to sift through the static, you might just find a masterpiece being outlined in the margins. Or, at the very least, a deeply compelling pitch about a steampunk afterlife.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, we want to leave you with a final provocative thought to mull over today as you go back to your normal, non-isekai'd life.
Oh, this is a good one.
Think about all the things on the internet that absolutely drive you crazy. The overused tropes, the exhausting trends, the inescapable discourse. Now ask yourself, if you were dropped into your own personal isekai tomorrow, but the physical laws and narrative rules of that world were generated entirely based on your biggest internet pet peeves, what would your adventure actually look like?
It really raises an important question.
Hmm.
Would you figure out how to be the hero, or would you find yourself trapped as the gentle librarian, just trying to survive the nightmare?
A terrifying concept to leave you with. Keep exploring those hypotheticals, and until next time, keep diving deep.